Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This educational offering is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Tonight, we have a financial advisor with us for the final step in our talking about death and dying. So we've gotten you all the way from meeting with the chaplain, all the way through your own demise, through your funeral, into the values that you want to pass down. And now watch this, Matt, this is great. Then the value that you want to pass down.
Oh,
see what I did?
Very good.
Nice.
That was good, yeah. See, I could do his job.
You're hired.
So we have with us this evening Matt Kneifel. He has been a financial advisor with Edward Jones for nearly 19 years. He is a proud alum of Wayne State College in Nebraska, where he earned a finance degree. We have a beloved child of our church at Wayne State right now. So,
oh, great.
So you and Mark Albers. Different generations.
But he's an alum.
That's right. Matt works for Edward Jones in Windsor Heights, has been there for 17 years. He obtained the CFP designation, and if you don't know what that is, neither do I, in 2010.
Financial.
Ooh, Bev knows. And Matt runs one of the most highly ranked offices in the United States and Canada. When Matt is not in his office, he is married and the father of a sixth grade boy named Miles. When he is not helping to coach the fifth and sixth grade boys track team, he's also outdoors fishing, hiking. Matt is a former All-American in the 55-meter hurdles, and so he's all set to coach, and it means more time with Miles.
Yay.
And it's a track team, so it's Miles with Miles.
Oh,
although he ran meters. I was a distance kid, so I know what miles are. So Matt and I talked a little bit last week about some of the particular topics in financial planning that I think would be most relevant to our conversation. So it won't be just kind of the standard Edward Jones presentation, but we'll try to hit some of the things that that feel relevant to what we've been talking about with death and dying and planning what happens with our stuff after we die. We also anticipate that you may have some individual questions that you'll want to ask Matt. So we're gonna cut off our conversation at 8 o'clock, and then anybody who wants to follow up with Matt with like, okay, here's what's going on with me. That way we don't have to get too deep in the weeds with anybody's financial situation. So welcome, Matt. I gesture to where he is on my screen. Welcome, Matt.
Well, thank you. Thank you for passing the mic over, and thanks for bringing me into your group. Such a nice evening, except for all the wind. And I gotta say, just listening to you guys, you sound like a really fun group. So I'm kind of glad this is a smaller, more intimate group. So maybe we can just ask and answer a lot of questions tonight. And yeah, like Pastor said, if there's certain things that you feel you want to cover on an individual basis, we can always just call our office. One of my assistants will take your call and we'll schedule a time where we can talk for 15 or 20 minutes and see what you have for questions. So, yeah, let's see. I tell you what, after talking to Nathan last week, I decided I won't even cover anything about what I thought I would cover for you tonight, because Pastor brought up some really good questions that it sounds like you guys had asked previously, and so I really want you to get the most out of this, so I'm really going to make sure to cover those. I'm sure I won't cover everything though, so that's why we're leaving about 30 minutes tonight for questions, and I might go for about 20 or 30 minutes just covering different topics, and we'll see what time we have for questions. So feel free to write your questions down through this, and yeah, we'll make it as conversational as we can, and yeah, we'll just have fun with this. So let's see. The topics we want to cover then tonight are estate planning, wills, end of life, what to be thinking about, common misconceptions about wills and probate, taxes while living still, and then also taxes at death, and then long-term care, kind of that care at the end of life, and what your kids may think about taking care of you or you taking care of others at their end of life. And at the end, I'm going to ask you to give me your thoughts. So there's a survey that you can either drop by or mail it to my office. And I'm really looking for your feedback. I always like to grow and improve. So any feedback that you could give me, I'm all ears. All right. So we're ready to jump in?
Yep.
All right. Good. So estate planning, wills, end of life, some common misconceptions. So a will. So many people think that a will avoid probate. A will does not avoid probate. Now, is that the worst thing in the world? Might not be, but I think we all need to understand what probate does. Okay, so how do we go through probate, first of all? Well, if we don't have our house going to the next spouse, or let's say I'm married to my wife, Sabina, and we have our house, Matt and Sabina Kneifel, I pass, it's going to go to my wife. Now, when Sabina passes, there's no way in the state of Iowa to list a beneficiary. So the house would take our entire estate through the probate process. Okay, what's the way to avoid the probate process? A trust. Why would we want to avoid probate? Well, there's three reasons people want to avoid probate. Number one, cost. It costs about 2% to administer probate. So that's typically what an attorney will charge. They can charge up to 2% in the state of Iowa. Let's do the math. So let's say we have a $500,000 estate at 2%. That's $10,000 to process the estate. Now let's double that. Let's say we have $1 million estate and that costs $20,000. Okay, now that's just the minimum cost because there's court costs that go on. So typically that cost is running up in that 3% range, sometimes even 4%. So we say anytime we're getting up into that $500,000 to $600,000 range or more, we may want to consider a trust. And that's simply because of the cost. Now, the second thing that probate's going to do is it'll take your estate and it'll make it public record. Okay, so especially in today's world where everything is so free on the internet. It might not be correct, but it's free on the internet. We can literally, you have an obituary that you read in the paper. You can literally type in their name and somehow, some way, you're going to see what their estate was worth if it went through probate. It's all public record. Now, that's what probate does, okay? It makes it public record and you have the costs. The third thing is, it takes up to 2 years to go through the probate process. Do most estates take that long? No, not at all. But going through the probate process, it does typically take longer than if it were in trust. Again, I want to reiterate, going through probate isn't the worst thing in the world. You just have to know your options. One of the biggest mistakes I see is people who set up a trust don't have everything in the trust. So in order for us to have a trust set up correctly, we have to have, let's just say, let's use me and my wife as an example, because I don't want to pick on anyone yet. If you want me to pick on you, then tell me and I'll use you as an example. Mm-hmm. Anyone? Okay. Nobody wants to be picked on. I get it. So let's again use the Matt and Sabina Kneifel revocable trust. Let's say we put our joint account inside that trust. That's good. Okay, that's all protected at that point. Our traditional IRA won't go in the trust, but it's important, really important, that we list the beneficiaries on that traditional IRA. And then the Roth IRA for both of us, that would need beneficiaries. Now, a big mistake that I see, though, and I just ran across one of these with a client. Their father died in Illinois, and he had accidentally put instead of putting the three kids as beneficiaries, he put the trust on the IRA account. Well, what did that do? So instead of those three children being able to stretch out that IRA over a 10-year period now and pay the tax over 10 years, it went to the trust. The trust has it paying it all at once. So approximately a 40% tax goes to the government immediately. So big mistake made there. That's why I always encourage my around 60-year-old clients to really have a discussion with their parents about the details on beneficiaries and if it's in trust or not, to kind of know what's going on and what their responsibility is too, so they're informed. Just so they're informed. Okay, so going back to that example, let's say we have our assets in trust. We have our house in trust. IRAs and Roths are listed as beneficiaries. Let's say we have a farm that's listed in a trust or an LLC. And those assets then are all ready to be administered by the trust. Now, what I see a lot is some of those examples that I gave, but also assets in a lockbox. Oh, we forgot about those. We forgot to put those in trust. Well, in the state of Iowa, it's a good thing that we can have up to $50,000 not listed in a trust. So if there's contents in that lockbox that are under $50,000, we're okay. But if it's over that, we have to take the whole trust and bring it through the probate process. So not fun after doing that work to put it into trust. Another thing I see is a bank account, okay, that let's say a bank 40 years ago was paying 15% interest on a CD. Remember those times? That was a long time ago. Now, we go to that bank and we give them $50,000 to put into a CD. And we have a trust, but we forgot to put it into the trust name. And then we pass away. Well, if it's 50,000, that's okay. But if it's 51,000, it brings the whole trust through probate. Now, please remember, I'm not an attorney, but doing this a few years, I've learned to really have joint meetings with my clients and attorneys, and we like to really sit down all together. So I know my clients really well, right? and or if I don't, I get to know them really well. And then we invite the attorney in. So we really get everything set up neat and tidy, because the minute that attorney goes away, it's really our responsibility with the client to make sure that everything's really consolidated, and each every 6 months to a year, we're going over those things again to, again, make sure that everything's tidied up nicely. So it's really in the details. Okay. There's another little story here. I just had a client pass. Okay, they were in a town close to Des Moines. Again, three kids in that situation. They had, in this case, they did not have a trust set up, but they had about $1.1 million in assets plus the house. So that they had about $1.5 million in assets, but they didn't have a trust. They also had stocks and bonds in a lockbox. Now, I always encourage my clients to take stocks and bonds in a lockbox and get those into their Edward Jones accounts, because it's going to make things easier. Now those kids are going to have to take a death certificate for each one of those stock certificates and get them processed one by one. It's a lot for them to handle. And actually, this just happened 2 weeks ago. The one executor's pulling his hair out, and the other one's taking off time from work to do things with the house and to console him. One of the biggest gifts you can give to your family is really having things consolidated, the details really laid out and thought through, so it's easier on the family so they can grieve instead of having to worry so much about how everything is going to be processed. So in our office, we like to have a meeting with the children and the parents both, so we talk through these things. And a lot of the times, clients don't want to talk about values, and that's fine. Other times they do. And we just talk through what things will look like when mom or dad do pass. Okay. Another thing you want to think about is having a power of attorney, of course. So toward the end of life, having someone who can step in to pay the bills when you cannot, even if you're sick for a little while and then you're able to come back from the hospital, just having somebody again who can step in and take care of things financially or even health-wise with you. So let's jump to the next topic. It's taxes. Who believes taxes are going up?
They always do,
right? Yep. Okay, who believes taxes are going to stay about the same? Okay, all right. And who believes taxes are going down? Okay, that's good, because they're at ultra low rates anyway. So a lot of people here would say taxes are likely going up. Now, I want some feedback on that. Just a couple comments. Why do we believe taxes are going up?
Well, we can't seem to control spending. And I don't see balanced budget happening in my lifetime. And I don't know how much longer the Chinese will continue to buy American debt. So I just think if we can't quit spending, I think we're going to have to raise taxes.
Yep. Yep. Seems logical.
Wait a minute, I have to turn that off.
All right. Other comments? All right. Evidently, Bruce had some comment to make, but he's off and running. Okay. So the president just signed $1.9 trillion, a piece of paper, right?
all this money is flooding into the economy, likely very good for stocks, because people are going to do one of two things with that money. They're either going to spend it, which is good for stock earnings, or they're going to invest it, which is good for stock prices. When that much money is flooding into the economy, it's very likely that there's stabilization and the economy looks pretty good because of that. Now, we're going to have to pay for that somehow. That's exactly right, Warren. So the likelihood that taxes are going up from here is very high. And so I thought we could talk a little bit about taxes tonight, and while we're all still living, and then also at death. So I'm actually going to flip it and talk about taxes at death first of all. So number one, in the state of Iowa, there's an inheritance tax. We all aware of the inheritance tax? Mm-hmm. Yep. So the good thing is, if it's kept within bloodline, so in other words, goes to spouse, that's okay. Spouse to spouse to kids, that's okay. But let's say there aren't kids and we want it to go to niece or nephew. There's going to be a tax for that. There's going to be about a 12% tax on average for a niece or nephew. Let's say you don't want it to go to niece or nephew, but a sibling, brother or sister. Tax on that's about 8% on average. Now that surprises a lot of people. So it's just good to be aware of that. Now I've had several clients who, my gosh, a certain neighbor has really taken care of them for a long time in their lives. So they want to give them something upon death. And really the way to avoid that inheritance tax for that friend is one of two ways. To number one, they can gift something to them while still living. They don't have to pay any tax on that unless it's a certain dollar amount. Okay, so we can gift under $15,000 per year per person. If we gift over that, then there's a gifting tax. So that's one way to do it. If we're a married couple, we can each gift $15,000 per person. Another way to avoid tax beyond gifting is life insurance. So you put a beneficiary on your life insurance and they're going to get tax-free life insurance upon death. So just a couple nuances there. Let's see.
Matt, I have a question.
Yeah, Bev?
Did I read that inheritance, the amount of not being taxed just recently went up?
You know, there's actually a table. Are you just talking about the state of Iowa?
Probably.
Okay.
I think they're the ones taxing us, right? Or is it a federal tax also?
Yeah, so I'm going to get into the different types of taxes.
Okay.
And this is a really good thing. These taxes here in the state of Iowa did not go up recently, but there is a table. So you can just Google state of Iowa inheritance tax.
Okay.
And I didn't get this table approved for this educational here by Edward Jones, so I can't show it on the screen, but I'd be glad to share it with you sometime. Okay, so let's go to the second one. Capital gains and ordinary income tax. So are we all aware, let's say we invested $10,000 into Apple stock, let's say 15 years ago, and today it's worth $200,000. All right. And I just made those numbers up, but they got to be somewhat about right. So while we're living, if we sell a little bit of that stock, we pay capital gains tax, right? Okay. And typically that's 15% for the federal and then 5 to 8.9% on the state, depending on the tax bracket you're in. Now that could be 20% plus Medicare, et cetera. So it could be 23% capital gain tax and then 8.9% state of Iowa. Or let's say you hold that Apple stock until death, your kids will get a full step up in cost basis to the $200,000 level. If they sell it, or if they keep Apple for the future, their cost basis reset to that $200,000 level. So if they sell it all at that point, they pay zero tax. Zero capital gain tax at all. Really important to know. Now I'm going to go to a different type of account. Let's talk about the IRA. I love using the IRA as an estate planning tool because we can gift to charities right outside of the IRA using what's called a QCD, a qualified charitable distribution. We pay zero tax on that, of course, because it's going to a nonprofit organization like the church, right? Covenant Presbyterian. Or let's say it goes to the church. The big thing about using a QCD then is it's going to reduce the amount of tax you pay on your Social Security. There are possibilities of that, and that would be a good thing to talk to your tax professional if you're charitably inclined. All right, another thing to know about the IRA is, let's say your kids are set up as the beneficiaries. Your kids then, and this is a law that was just changed a couple of years ago, your kids will have 10 years to take money out of that IRA account. But that's it. They used to be able to stretch that IRA out among their whole lifetimes, but now it's just 10 years. So for IRA accounts, typically we'll say, let's go ahead and take 10% of that IRA out each year for 10 years, reducing that tax. But if we believe taxes are going up next year and the year after, we may want to take more now at either the parents' rates, or take it right away in the first few years of a child's life. We want to keep people in a low tax bracket. That's the whole idea. All right, so there's some tax planning things, again, we can do and plan out before a person actually passes too. And that's kind of the complex, fun things that I like to get into. Let's talk about a different account. It's the Roth. The Roth, to me, is one of the most fantastic things that have ever been through Congress. But it surprises me how many people haven't taken advantage of the Roth in their lifetimes. Now, keep in mind, you need earned income to be able to fund a Roth. All right, so if you're not working anymore, it's not an option. Of course, anything that you take out of the Roth, it's tax-free. Anything that you pass to the kids is also going to be tax-free. One of the most powerful tools you can hand a child, but they got to know about that. They have to know how powerful that is. So over a 10-year period of time, again, it's not going to be taxed. So what I typically do is encourage the kids to let that money grow in a Roth for the 10 years and then take it out in the 10th year, completely tax-free. All right. Now let's go to one type of investment that I really need you to understand as well, and that's an annuity. So annuities, okay, who knows? Are annuities taxed at capital gains rate or ordinary income tax rate?
Ordinary.
Ordinary. Who said that? Bob?
Yeah. Bob Johnson.
Bob Johnson. Good job, Bob. So many people don't know this, and I want you to know this. You know, a lot of people just want to go out there and sell an annuity to someone because they make a big commission. And it's not the best thing for a lot of people. So the reason I like annuities for people is because they need a guaranteed income. Let's say they don't have a pension. Okay. It can make sense if we just need to guarantee an income stream. But remember, that income from the annuity is taxed at your ordinary income level, like Bob said. So very important that we plan this out. We can strategize an annuity income out. I'm going to give you an example. Okay, I have a client in Texas. She has $912,000 in this annuity. We just exchanged it over to a different annuity for a couple reasons. Okay, number one, she's 57 with a five-year, doctor just gave her 5 years. Her goal is to spend some of that money, first of all. Her second goal is to give that money to her kids.
Give that money what?
Give that money to her kids.
Oh.
Yep, she has two kids, boy and a girl. She did remarry. She doesn't want to give it to her new husband, and they have that set up. They've talked about it. They want to give that money to two kids, okay? Well, the reason why we did a 1035 exchange of this annuity is we brought it over. The death benefit on her current, on her previous annuity was going to be about $670,000, okay? Because the death benefit was locked in at that lower amount, and we had a lot of growth in this last year. So it was before the anniversary. So we went ahead and locked in a new death benefit of $912,000. That means if the value goes down to say $670,000 again or $700,000, that the kids will get the $912,000. Now the tricky thing is with that, they will have to take that income out. There's different annuity options you can choose, of course. I'll lead them through that. But they're going to pay ordinary income tax on that annuity. Now, stay with me. She's 57 and a half years old. She can start taking income at 59 and a half, though, without a 10% penalty. So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to keep her in the tax bracket that she's okay with, and we're going to pull a lump sum out of there starting in the year that she's 59 and a half. Because she wants to spend some of it. She wants to enjoy her life with vacations, et cetera, in her last years. Please remember, annuities are taxed at ordinary income. They do not get a step up in cost basis.
What?
Okay. Now, one of the neat strategies I like using is, let's say I'm at the end of my life, okay? And I'm getting full care. I'm in a long-term care facility. I need nurses, et cetera, or I'm at home and I have full care there. If there's full care, that cost of the full care can typically be fully deducted on your tax return. So that may be a good time to pull things like this annuity income out and still be taxed at 0% on that annuity. But I can't even count on my fingers how many times people have not done this with their parents. They weren't aware of it. So I hope every one of you on the call tonight really remember this. Guys, there's, you know, one thing I firmly believe in is it's our jobs to be good stewards of our money. And that doesn't mean that we just hoard it and keep it. And no, this is a church group, so I love talking about this. It's our job to give and help others. Well, let's talk about then what's important to you. What organizations do you really care about? What people do you really care about? Do you love saving babies? Do you love giving to the poor? Do you love Meals from the Heartland? It's a good conversation to have. And I've even brought several people into the office so my clients can interview these folks and just have an open discussion. So it's a fun thing to get to. Now, a lot of people say, well, heck, I'm so old in my life. I just don't enjoy talking about investing anymore. And I don't care if it's all sitting in a money market account. Okay. Is that being a good steward or the best good steward that you can be? So maybe if you don't care about those things, you can give it away. You can help someone who does care about it and needs the help. So Matt, I know there's, what's that?
How do I think about the balance? So I love my kids most of the time, and I want to help take care of them, but I also, you know, I want to, stewardship to me is about giving to the, you know, the organizations and churches and causes that matter. And, you know, I know I also need to think about how much I need to live on between now and the time that I do die. I mean, I know the math works out based on any individual situation, but how do you help folks kind of think about the, okay, these are like really clearly competing interests. So how do I think about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know you've thought about that too before, and you've probably gotten those questions. So I love this part of it. It's more complex. By the way, CFP means Certified Financial Planner. So I went through a year of studies and then took a 2-day exam. It's kind of like taking a law exam. Okay. So in the financial planning process, you really talk about and learn about estate planning and how to psychologically learn about how people want to give money or don't want to give money. Okay. So what we're talking about here is really a higher learning. Okay, because most of the time, all of us were like, okay, what's important? Food, shelter, not dying. That's like all of the little things that we're growing up with, right? We're taught to have that innate feature in us, not to die, to take care of ourselves. Well, at some point in our lives, we may get to that second level where we really think about others most of the time and we want to help others. Okay. So then what we do is we sit down through the financial planning process. It's pretty simple. It's just a 5-step process and we throw everything into the financial plan. And at the end, I wish I could show you this right now. It's really cool software, but we look at balances of accounts and how those are growing over time. We look at what the income looks like. We look at actually what you need throughout your lifetime and what your retirement goal should be, but then also what maybe you want your legacy goal to be. So it's really a process of splitting those two out of retirement and money that you need today and in your lifetime. And then money that you're creating as a legacy that you'll never need. Yeah, it's kind of fun. All right. So one of the next taxes is the death tax. Okay, so there's an exemption above $11.7 million per person. So if anyone has that issue, great. If not, you don't have to worry about the death tax.
Is a death tax what the kids inherit or the spouse?
Yeah, it's so let's say there, let's say it's you and Bruce, Bev.
Right.
Okay. When you pass, if your whole estate is, let's say half of it is under $11.7 million, you will not pay a death tax or a federal estate tax. Your inheritors, okay? So thank let's say you pass.
Bruce
will not be paying that tax.
Okay. Up to $11.5 million, though, sweetheart.
Yeah, sigh of relief.
Everything else is you're going to have to pay.
What's new?
So, you know, there's different things that I could continue to discuss here. I obviously I'm very passionate about this, but I want to leave it at that. We're at, I guess, about 20 minutes remaining for other questions.
It's a lot of stuff you threw at us, buddy.
Did you regurgitate it?
I took notes, but it's like, oh boy. That looks pretty Greek.
Yeah.
You did a nice job though, Matt. Thank you with the explanations and going through that.
And you did a nice job with your song.
Thank you. I didn't know you could hear that.
Did I understand you to say that you could give your neighbor $15,000 and they would not be taxed?
Yeah, there would not be a gift tax.
Okay, so what about my nieces and nephews? Can I give the same amount to them or do they have to pay that 12%?
While you're living, you could give them $15,000 per year per person.
Okay.
Yep.
But if I die and it's in the will, then they have to pay the 12%.
Yep. The way to get around that to give anything remaining at your death would be life insurance.
And do we have to be careful with Christmas gifts and things like that? If we've given the children $15,000 apiece, that means don't be writing any checks for Christmas gifts.
Yep. Cash is king. Oh, yes. Always keep below that $15,000 limit.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we can't do the exact $15,000. It could be a penny less.
You can do the exact $15,000. It can't
good.
Be a penny more.
I'd hate to pay tax on that.
Yep.
Extra penny there.
Now, Bev, you can do a nice thing. You could say, all right, because I'm married, if Bruce doesn't want to give him the money, you can go ahead and give him the $30,000 and they're still okay.
$30,000.
Yeah. So you could say, all right, I'm going to give him $15,000 and Bruce is going to give him $15,000.
Oh, so that's the magic of blended families, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Bev, you can now give $30,000 to all your kids. Bruce, you can give $30,000 to your kids and you're still both set.
That leaves nothing for the church.
Oh, oops, back up that truck.
I'm sorry, I was hearing, so you're like 11.76 million, right? So you only have to get down that far?
We're just short of that a little bit.
That's good. But we're okay. That's interesting. Now I don't understand, Nathan, why you were saying 30,000. Oh, just because we were over that 11.5 mil.
Right. Yeah. So Matt was saying that. So your $15,000 gift limit, and Matt, correct me if I heard you wrong, but that $15,000 gift limit is per person, not per household.
That's right.
Right. Right. Right.
So you can give, Bev, you can give your $15,000 and Bruce's $15,000 to my address is in the church directory.
Yeah.
If the IRS asks you a question, though, you just got to say, Bruce, you got to say, oh, yeah, that was mine.
Yeah. No.
That's a lot of cans. Yours, right? That's a lot of cans to pick up.
That's right. He always said he'd be happy to drive me along the ditches and the farm areas and I could pick up cans to make my money when I retired, because I was concerned.
And you'll spend more in gas picking them up, stopping it. Yes.
Well, yes, especially now that it's over $2. We were in Seventh Heaven there for a long time. Nobody going anywhere. But...
Well, okay. Matt,
thank you.
Each person on the screen has different financial situations and all. Instead of me investing in Apple 15 years ago, I invested in a convenience store on Harding Road, ML King, with eventually leaking underground gas tanks. See, so my financial situation is I hope that Claudia, my wife Claudia and I, exit this earth with adequate funds, basically to take care of the two of us and not become any kind of a financial burden to our three married kids. Now, as a grandfather and a father, I would love to leave, you know, lots of assets for especially grandchildren. Fortunately, we invested in our children's education, and I'm bragging here, but they're all doing well. And so they are geared to take care of themselves. I just don't want to have them have to maybe take care of me to keep me off of Title 19 or Medicaid with this medical thing.
Yep.
And so, like I say, I don't think I'm in, there's a lot of these things that won't apply to me because have gone through some real, what should we say, financial reversals at age 50 with this convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
That was on my own free will. You know, nobody forced me to buy that store. So I guess I would be interested in how does someone, when they're 77, maximize their income? And I know there's, like, I remember when CDs were bringing 18%.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, absolutely insured. So I realized that I don't have a lot of, and I don't play the lottery anymore. I gave up on that. But I guess I just in the bread and butter with Social Security and some retired teacher assets, making it through this life. And frankly, if the check to the undertaker when the last spouse dies zeros out the checking account, that's excellent financial planning with no burden on kids or grandkids.
Okay.
So where would you see that types of revenues in the next, I plan to make it to 100, but anyway, in the next, let's say 10 or 15 years that might generate some needed income. And not knowing, of course, what the medical thing is nobody can calculate how much you could spend in a long term care
party.
No, we're gonna salt some of that away, Bob. There will be a party fund funded fully. Okay. We don't want to get Matt into this party.
That had been talked about a few weeks ago. That
so Warren, you're going to pre-fund your celebration of Warren party.
Yes. Okay. Those funds will be probably set aside soon.
Who's going to pawn the accordion?
Yeah, I think I should sell the accordion. Yeah, that's probably not a fair question to Matt, but
so yeah, that's part of it. Actually, is what could you fund prior to death? Like a funeral, like a plot. I usually don't like people to prepay for their funerals, but I like them to pre-plan for their funerals, because typically when you're prepaying, you're buying life insurance, right? And then those things, those as prices go up, you're guaranteed that it's taken care of. But I like pre-planning, so then you get all your songs you want, and and the people that you want to carry the casket, all those things. Now, if there aren't assets left at the end of a person's life or toward the end of a person's life when we need long-term care, it's a good thing to go ahead and prepay for that funeral and any other party that you're talking about. I do have sources, Medicaid planning attorneys here in Des Moines. I really like two of them in particular. So sometimes it comes to that. And the kids really appreciate that planning with the parents before we're actually close to that point. A Medicaid planning attorney is pretty good at protecting assets too. So I just had a client pass, I'd say 30, 45 days ago. And about 6 years ago, we had set up what's called an irrevocable trust. So their house was in the irrevocable trust, all their assets and their IRA and Roth were not. We really went step by step how to protect those assets so they would be eligible for Medicaid after 5 years. There's a 5-year look back period. But again, this is really individualized information for specific people that, again, it's kind of fun to talk about, actually, that we can get into that complex stuff. Will that help, Warren?
Good. Something you mentioned, you mentioned inheritance tax and you mentioned death tax. Now, my understanding is that that's the same thing, but some people put the majority of death tax name on it because they're trying to convince you that you're going to lose a lot of money to it. I think you mentioned inheritance tax in state and death tax in federal, but it's all inheritance tax, right?
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's just, yeah, call the death tax. It's, you know, federally, they call it a death tax. The state of Iowa, they call it a death tax as well. The importance is really to define them and put them separately.
So we're still at 11.5 mil max. And then, and anything under that is not taxed to the inheritance.
Yeah, you get a unified tax credit per person up to $11.7 million right now.
Oh, 11.7, okay. Mm-hmm. See, I got that extra 100 there, Nathan.
Like I said, my address is in the church directory.
I love it. Easy enough.
But if you send it to the church building, then I get taxed on it. That's a whole different planning process.
Oh my.
if it looks like church income. If you write it directly to me, it's fine. But
oh, gotcha. Yeah. I see.
But if it goes through the church, then it's taxable income to me.
Or I could send you an envelope just full of cash. Nobody would ever know.
All unmarked, please.
Yes.
Cash, yeah.
And how much do we have to get out of that lockbox before the police come and lock it up? We're allowed 50, though.
In yeah. The
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good.
Better off investing it.
Yep. If you have a trust set up, it's good to get those gold bars, those silver coins, get all those things taken care of or non-existent.
Yeah. So put it all into paper.
Yep.
Well, actually, now it's all digital.
Digital.
That's right.
Bitcoin, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. I haven't tried that one yet.
No, that's a good idea not to try that one.
I almost broke my teeth on one of those Bitcoins.
Yay. There you go, clan.
Oh, Joker.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have a checking account that you you typically carry between $2,000 and $5,000 in it. That's well under the 50. But then should you put a POD on it to the kids?
Yep. Yep, that's the best thing. And maybe toward the end of life, putting a child on that account as well as owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what my mother did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, just remember, you probably want that person to be pretty responsible, not taking on excessive risks, because if they're owner of that account and they get sued, that money would go right to that person suing.
Now, we can put the bank account, that's part of our trust, right? I mean, we can call it the trust. I mean, with the bank, do the paperwork.
Yep.
So then the checking, the savings would go in, I mean, be divvied up within the trust.
Yeah, that is, in my opinion, that is the best thing that you can do.
Okay.
Because then let's say during your lifetime, you're not able to pay your bills. Well, that successor trustee can step in without being an owner, without having the liability.
Gotcha. Right?
And it just takes a piece of paper to bring to the financial institution and they're on.
Got it.
Yep.
Thank you. Would you explain that again just really quickly?
Sure. So let's say Matt and Sabina Kneifel, we have a trust. Okay. A lot of the times, guys, I don't see people going to the little bit more work and putting their bank accounts in the name of the trust. But they should, in my opinion. It's more paperwork, but it should be done. I think the example here is that if I cannot pay my bills in my lifetime, and Sabina has passed at that point, that if it's in trust, then my successor trustee can step right in and pay the bills, keep it going.
And when you say you can't pay the bills, you mean you are unable to manage financial affairs, not that you run out of money.
Yep. I'm in the hospital. Yep.
I've assigned a number of stocks to some of my grandchildren. Is there a trick or something involved as far as sharing stocks with your kids and grandkids?
Yeah, I love this trick.
But okay. It's not in the first few years of their life.
It can be.
Okay.
It can be. You can set up custodial accounts. Okay. So let's say, Bev, you want to be the custodian for one of your grandkids. And Bruce, you want to be a custodian for another grandkid.
I never want to be a custodian. It's hard work.
Kind of like Bitcoin. So you can gift each one of those grandkids then in your situation $30,000 per year per grandchild. Okay. Now let's say, I just did this with someone with Microsoft stock, in fact. So low cost basis, high dollar amount. They have too much Microsoft stock. So we're
gifting. They have too much money, what?
In Microsoft stock.
Gotcha.
Okay. So we
common
just,
problem.
Big problem to have. So we took that money of Microsoft stock shares and we transferred it over to the two girls' accounts. The kitty tax is actually something I was going to talk about here tonight, so I'll just cover it real briefly. A lot of the times people are not taking advantage of this kitty tax. We can sell and create gain up to $2,200 per child per year and not file a tax return and not pay a dime in tax on it. It's one of the most underutilized little rules that can get a child through college, buy their first house, get married, all because we're avoiding a capital gain tax.
At what point in life do you have to meet that rule by? I mean, for the child. up till 5 years, up till 25?
Good question, Bev. So typically we like to do this before they start earning income. Okay, so let's look at the
reported income.
Yeah, they're okay. Reported
as income. Opposed to mowing lawns where they get cash when there they're 10 or 12. Yeah.
Yep. Good time to do it. So my son, he's 12. He's almost 12.
Okay.
It's a really good thing for me to gift money to his account. For instance, okay, Shopify. This is a great example of a stock. And we're at 8:03. So we'll wrap this up. But Shopify, 4.5 years ago, for every $30,000 that we put into it, it's worth $700,000 today. Okay. I have several clients with this stock. And so we're gifting that money to charities. We're gifting that money to kids. And we're going to start liquidating pieces of that and not pay any tax on it. Definitely to a charity, but also to kids and grandkids.
Good idea.
You said something about a kiddie tax.
Children.
Is that two T's or two D? What?
Two kid? D's. It is in a goat, a kid, or your kid that you have. Yeah. DD.
Oh, so a goat, so that'd be livestock.
Kid, you know, a ghost, a kid.
Got it. All right.
Okay, cool. But why do we get to give 30 again? I thought they could only get 15 a year.
Okay, because you're married. So, Bev, Bruce kicks the bucket. You can only give 15.
Right. Okay.
Cool. Bev finally has an incentive to keep him alive. Yeah.
Weren't we counting the days recently and last week or two? We
a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, oh, we mentioned it. Sorry you're getting ill, Bruce.
Bruce, I know you could take it. That's why I use you as an example.
I stay away from buckets, so I don't want to kick it.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. I see what you're saying.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we're in a situation where we just married 10 years ago. It's a second marriage for both of us.
We had to.
My at age 60, myself and Sarah from the Bible, right? So anyway, we each include each other in our trust, but our own children as well, or that's how that gets divvied up. Yep. So that's because we didn't raise our spouse's children. So to be fair, you know, that's the way we're working that. But I thought that's why I'm so digging in on the 15, because it's not going to be Bruce's money going to my kids. It's not going to be my money going to Bruce's kids. That we each have our own bucket that we used, that we earned prior to our marriage, and that's how it works.
Yep.
So 15 is for us, the way it goes, per year, got it, per child.
And you know, that's a great point that you bring up, because everyone's financial situation is just so different.
Yeah.
That's the fun part of it.
You know, we worked it out though. It wasn't that hard. It was nice and amicable, and it worked.
So far. You're lucky.
So far. Yeah. Yeah. We are lucky. We are. We're blessed.
Well,
thank you.
I do have another commitment to get to with my family. So here's just I would like to ask of you again. I asked at the beginning, but you have maybe the sheet in front of you. It's give us your thoughts. This one.
It is on their computer.
If you have that.
You don't have it yet in front of you, we will get that to you by email tomorrow. So I'm checking quickly to see if it was attached to your reminder email this morning.
It was.
Great.
Okay.
You guys, perfect. I'm all about learning, seriously.
Participant workbook, PDF.
Yeah, and then there's give us your thoughts, which is, I'm not sure if this is, I think this is separate from the participant workbook, actually.
Okay.
Yep.
Hey, we will get that to you tomorrow.
Okay. Even if you don't want to talk to me, that's okay. If you have some feedback for me, though, I would really appreciate it. I'm so big into learning and getting better all the time. So please,
good,
give me some feedback. I'm all ears.
We can find you. Is it on one of the papers that you that we will be receiving, Matt? Or we just know to look up Edward Jones. You're the only office in Windsor Heights, right?
There's two offices. Yeah.
I'll get you. I'll get you all of the contact information for Matt in the email, along with the feedback form.
Perfect.
We thank you for your time. It's cool to be able to get together with you.
Very helpful. Nice.
Indeed. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. And I am reading a last question here. It's from Anne. I am a widow with no children. Is there a benefit to setting up a trust? Possibly. Yes, Anne. I'm sorry. And you said privately. So I apologize for that. Okay. Geez, I just messed that all up, Ann. I apologize.
Well, they know the situation. So.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to interrupt when you were in the flow of questions. So that
okay.
But yeah. There went your trust.
Nice.
I mess with things up all the time. So. No, Ann, I'd be happy to talk about that, though, if you want to talk offline. I am not going to contact you. I don't want your information, seriously. If you want to contact me, though, then I'm happy to have a conversation.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, guys, for your time this evening. And we will get that that feedback form and Matt's contact information to you all so that you can follow up with him with any more specific situation questions that you want to bounce off of him. So thank you so much, Matt.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bravo.